Just going to talk a little bit this morning on those two readings. I just want to add an additional reading to that as well from 1 John chapter 3. Just want to add a few more verses, and it says this. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know it is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. Yet we do know this. When he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Lord, would you take my lips and would you speak through me in my weakness, that as we unpack those passages from Scripture, Lord, we'd learn something new of you today and be challenged by you. Amen. I love it when the kids go out, not because, I don't mean it like that. I love it because the church looks empty compared to when they were before, and that's brilliant. It means that we've got a real range of ages and we've got lots of young people in the church family. We are really becoming much more of a church family, and that's fantastic that we've got such a varied range of ages. It's not a good day today, you know. But when you put that on the website, can you just edit it? I'm not having a very good day. One of those days. But make it worse. I'm sure you will. Yeah. Have you ever heard the saying, you can't choose your parents? I'm sure you have. It's obviously a very true saying. You cannot choose your parents. However, our parents are so important to us, aren't they? They help to mold us, to teach us, to shape us into the individuals that we are to become. As young children, our parents are the people that we spend all our time with. We learn from them. We watch them, what they do. We watch how they react to various situations, how they say things. We listen to how they do and say everything. We watch them. What we do as children often copies what our parents have done. And as a parent, when I was sat preparing this sermon this week, I found myself stuck at my desk contemplating the enormity, once again, of what it is to be a parent. What a huge responsibility we have as parents to teach and instruct our children in the ways that we feel they ought to live their lives. To set the right examples by the things that we do, the way we treat others, even the way we speak. You see, children copy their parents. And I found this out to my cost. A number of years ago now, about 12 years ago to be exact, when my eldest son Tom, who's now 14, was about 2. See, I'm a person who quite likes to do DIY, and when we lived in our own property, not a vicarage, you can do things to your own property, obviously, so I quite like DIY type things, and we'd put some new doors on, and I was busily shaving the doors to make them fit, etc., etc., as you do. And when you've done things quite a lot, you get blasé, don't you, about things. And it was blowing a gale outside in our garden. And I took this door out and I was merrily shaving the bottom edge of this door to make it fit with an electric planer. I had a really old, my DIY clothes, which were old and baggy, full of paint, etc. But this T-shirt was really baggy. It was blowing in the wind. And Nick Merriman is looking at me thinking, Ian, he's a Mr. DIY man here. So there I was, shaving this door down when the wind caught my T-shirt, and it got caught up in the electric planer, in the rollers of the planer, and within like a nanosecond, it was up round here, choking me around my neck. Luckily, there was so much material that it actually jammed the rollers, and it actually burnt out the motor on the electric planer. It was ruined. Could have been my neck that was ruined, but it was the planer that was ruined. Now, in the process of this happening, bearing in mind it was 12 years ago, I wasn't the Christian that I am today. So I'll just put that rider on. In the process of this happening, I said a few things that maybe I shouldn't have said. And Tom, who was by the side of me, too, picking up every word that you say at that age, merrily went dancing around the garden saying a few words that he shouldn't have been saying. So not a very good example at that time, I have to say. But children copy their parents. They copy their parents. When I was a teacher, it's not a good thing to admit, but I'm sure some of the teachers in the room will also say that this happens. As a teacher, you do look at the parents to see why that child might be behaving the way they do. You kind of look to see a little bit within the parent what that child is, where the child's come from, etc., etc. Children copy their parents. They also look similar. They have the same mannerisms. They have the same genes. And I couldn't disown my son, Andrew, if I tried. Now, here's some family likenesses. So you've got here a couple of images. Now, obviously, Prince William and his son. And there's also another picture I was going to put up, which is, you know, the one when Prince William was a baby in the little red outfit. And then his son was in the same outfit. And they just look identical, don't they? Family likeness. There they are. They're family likeness. And also the little one here with the father and his daughter. Exactly the same resemblance on the mouth. Brilliant. Another slide, please. There's a family likeness. There's our little Isaac. There's Isaac. And there's me when I was two. Look at that for a family likeness. Brilliant, isn't it? So I was blown away when I saw that. And I thought, wow, there we are. That's where he gets his good looks from, obviously. But there you go. So they look the same. That even includes mannerisms in the way they act, the way they do things. Children sometimes reflect. And I couldn't disown our Andrew or Isaac, even if I tried. So you see, our parents are important. Most parents want what's best for us. They want us to do well, and they want us to succeed. And with this in mind, they try to give us the very best that they can. They show us how much they care by pouring their love out for us. Now, I recognize that I've said a lot there, and that for a lot of people, that is not their understanding of parenthood. I understand for a lot of people that that is not the case at all, and it's a painful subject. However, in our reading today, we're confronted with words which I think are a real comfort. And to each of us, they really help us to grasp just what it is and just how it is that God loves us. And there's some really challenging words. John writes in that first reading, "How great is the love that the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are." They're words that we just read, aren't they? We just skip over them. But if you actually read into them, they are incredible words. How great is the love of the Father that the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. Children of God, because that is what we are. I find that incredible. Now, that means that God is our Father. And he loves us with a perfect love. And that love is higher, wider, deeper, goes beyond what we can actually understand. The love that I have for my kids, the way I look at my kids when I see them doing things, and sometimes they don't know that I'm looking at them, and my heart melts when I see them. That's obviously when they're asleep. When they're fast asleep and being well behaved. But I delight in them when I see them doing great things. For instance, our eldest son, Tom, is now playing in this band, and he's going around gigging and doing things. And we went last night to watch him in his latest gig, and it's just fantastic to see him flourishing and to see him doing these things. We delight to see them doing things. That's how God feels about me. That's how God feels about you. He delights in you. He is immensely proud of you. And sometimes, I think we find that hard because sometimes we feel rubbish about ourselves. Sometimes we feel pretty bad about ourselves and we think, oh, I'm not really a very nice person. God never, ever thinks of you like that. He loves you and he rejoices in you. And he likes you. As Paul reminded us actually a few weeks ago, more than the fact that he loves you, he likes you. And when he sees you doing things, he delights in it. And this is a love that's for everybody. It's for all who choose to accept it. And it doesn't matter what our background is, what we've done. It doesn't matter what our understanding of parenthood is or the experience of parenthood that we've had. You are a child of God and he loves you. And with that comes an amazing realization that if you are his child, you are also his heir. You are his son and his daughter, and you are his heir. Just as we saw Prince William with his son, who's the future heir, you are a future heir. How incredible to think that you are an heir to the kingdom of God. What does John say? Verse 2. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. As heirs of the Father, as children of the Father, we are going to be like him. Just as we have the genes and the likeness of our biological parents, so it is with our Creator. We were created by God in our mother's womb. As we heard from the first reading in the book, that Psalm 139, it's just the most amazing psalm. If you've not read it, read Psalm 139. We read in there how he knit us together in that secret place. He knows everything about us. And if he did that, then surely it follows that if he created us, that we have his genes in us, and we are made in his image and in the likeness of God. And it's when we give ourselves to him and we allow God to work in our lives that we begin to be shaped by him, that he begins to mold and tweak and begins to turn us slowly, and it does take time, we're never the finished article, but he begins to turn us slowly into the person that he wants us to be, and we begin to reflect God's love. And that's the real challenge, that we actually begin to reflect God's love by the way we act and by the way we live our lives. That's a real challenge to us. If we say we are children of God, then we've got to start proving it by the way we live and by our own godliness. By the way we live and by the way we love. And one of the simple things that we can do right now, as we said at the start of the service, is to show God's love in action. And that might be that you've been challenged by Ruth last week, and again by what you've seen in the news, that you want to do something for the humanitarian crisis that's unfolding in front of our eyes. And a simple thing might just be that you wanted to support the Cathedral Food Bank and the Clothing Bank. And that's a simple thing that you can do that is showing God's love in action. Showing God's love in action and living a life that is pleasing to God. That's what we're asked to do. The next slide should say about being adopted, does it? Is that adoption in the next slide? Yeah. That's the next part of that reading, that we are actually adopted into God's family. And that's sometimes a difficult thing, I think, for us to accept, for us to get our heads around. But it's true. We're adopted. And therefore, with this adoption comes all the rights and all the privileges of belonging to the family of God. Just as in the case today, if a child was adopted today, once that child's been accepted and adopted, they become in every sense a member of that family, and they inherit all the rights and all the privileges of that family. Beforehand, the child who was being adopted had no rights, no privileges to that family. But once that adoption goes through, they have all the rights and all the privileges. And it's the same for us. We are adopted into God's family, and with that comes the fact that we have all the rights and all the privileges that go with it. And the seal of our adoption is not a piece of paper like it is in our world, not a little piece of paper. It's actually God's blood. That's the seal of our adoption. His blood that was shed for us when he died on the cross. His blood that carries and covers the weight of sin. And it's his grace that's poured out for us. It's by grace that we've been saved, that he lavishly poured out his love for each one of us. So to finish, just want to finish with these words. I wonder, are you living a life that is pleasing to God? Are we reflecting God's love in the way that he wants us to? Simple things, little things that we can do that just show that we are made in his image, that just show that we are like him, that we are giving our best to God, and we're showing his love in the way we live. What can you do this week? I wonder, who can you speak to? What can you do that's going to share that with someone? There's a real challenge. I'm going to challenge each one of us this week to see if there can be an opportunity that presents itself where you can just show God's love by doing something positive. And then an even greater challenge and a difficult one, and then can you share with them your faith? That's the big one. Can you share your faith with someone and tell them because I'm a Christian and I believe God loves me, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's a real challenge. And I wonder, are we willing to take up that challenge today? Let's pray together. Lord, as we read that passage, Lord, we are struck by just the immense love that you have for us. Lord, that you lavishly poured out your love upon us. And Lord, as we begin to think about those things, Lord, how we are your children, how you love us so much that you sent your Son. And through his sacrifice, we are accepted and we are made right in your sight. Lord, help us to live our lives, Lord, in the knowledge that you first loved us. And may we show that love to others in the little things, in the way we speak, and in the way we act. Help us this week, Lord, to do that and then to share our faith. And we ask this in your name. Amen.